The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes of my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The past two nights we've had parables inviting us to think of the Father's love and the Father's mercy. Now tonight we have a different kind of parable, and it's aimed at us. Do I acknowledge my need of mercy before God? Once upon a time, I was prepared for my sacraments by a kind of dragon teacher that got dragons a bad name. She wasn't even a religious sister, but she was hard and she was tough. And I made my first communion when I was 6 years old. And with the rest of the class, I could recite the Ten Commandments by heart. So the day came for my first confession. And my school wasn't near the church, so an old Irish priest came to hear confessions. So I went in, age 6. Bless me, Father. This is my first confession. I've told lies. I've fought with my brothers. I didn't always say my prayers. Sometimes I didn't listen to my mum and dad. And I committed adultery twice. Father Murphy almost had a fit. Now, sure, son, what did you do? So I explained that between my house and the school, there was a building site. And in the 50s, they didn't put up the protective fences that they do now. And it was dangerous with tractors and pile drivers and cranes and all the things that fascinate a 6-year-old. And I had been warned by my mother not to stray in there, but to go straight home. But twice I disobeyed. So Father Murphy recovered his composure and said, "Look, son, that's not adultery. You'll have to wait till you're older for adultery. That's just disobedience." So I went home, and my mother, anxious Catholic mother, was waiting for me. "Well, son, how did your first confession go?" "Mum, Father Murphy didn't believe me when I said I committed adultery." "You said you what?" So I explained very shamefacedly to my mother what I had done. And then she realized it was her fault. My mother was always trying to improve the way that we spoke and trying to give us more vocabulary. And she had warned me not to be dilatory coming up from school. If you're six, dilatory and adultery are very similar. I swear to God, I have never had to confess it since. But what I want to do tonight is really ask the question, who am I in tonight's parable? Am I the Pharisee that stands there going, "Well, I go to church, I give to Catholic charities, I'm not involved in any scandalous affairs, I can look down on my neighbours who aren't as good as me"? Or are we the guy who stands before the Lord and says, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner"? I think one of the most important things we do as Catholics is examine our conscience. And the years have taught me there are ways of doing that. There's the first commandment, I haven't made any wooden or stone idols, that's fine. Second commandment, I haven't taken God's name in vain. Third commandment, I went to Mass. Fourth commandment, my parents are dead, so I haven't disobeyed them for years. Fifth commandment, I haven't murdered anyone. Sixth commandment, I've never got round to committing adultery. Seventh commandment, I haven't actually stolen. And so the list goes on. Now, my question tonight is a different one. Not have we broken the commandments, but have we kept the commandments? Because although the commandments are set as negations, each one contains a very important value. I haven't made false idols, but what's really important in my life? Have I let money, academic distinctions, the good respect of my neighbours, have I let that come between me and loving and serving God totally? Maybe I don't blaspheme, but am I careful the way I speak about God and His church? Okay, on a Sunday I go to Mass, I keep the Sabbath holy, but do I fall asleep, especially if the homily is long and boring? Not in Sacred Heart, of course. Do I pray? Do I open my heart to God? Do I listen to Him when He talks in Scripture? Or am I just fulfilling an obligation? I suspect as I look out, there are no axe murderers in the congregation. But how many of us have short tempers? How many of us get angry and frustrated and want to strangle people? Thou shalt not commit adultery. We'll take that together with coveting neighbors' wives or husbands. We live in a world that has forgotten the values of chastity. We live in a world where things like pornography have turned God's view of love and marriage upside down. And it's very hard to live in this world without being corrupted at least a little by the world's view. I'll give you another wee anecdote. I had a friend who had started work in the spa of a hotel I sometimes go to. He's a nice kid, and he's a Facebook friend. And I saw that his new girlfriend was putting photos of him in her bed on the Facebook page. And I said to him, "Chris, I know you're in a new relationship. Please be careful." He assured me that they were using contraception. And I said, "That's not what I meant, son. I was talking about your emotions, your heart." And he went, "Oh, really?" So then he went on to tell me that when his girlfriend stayed over, they were 17, by the way. If he stayed in her house, it was fine to sleep in her bed. When she stayed over in his house, his parents said she should stay in the spare bed. And he said to me in bewilderment, "Why would my parents be like that?" And I said, "Well, maybe your mum and dad are like me and believe that sex is something important, sacred. It's the closest we ever get to another human being, so it should be someone to whom we are at least committed and preferably married." And he went, "Really?" Now, that's the world we live in. And as a priest, I deal a lot with kids, and I know where they're coming from. And somehow we have to get over a vision of Christian marriage and human sexuality that they can understand and grasp. And that's all to do with the sixth and ninth commandment. It's not just about not committing adultery. It's about the whole issue of love and marriage. Don't bear false witness. Well, I suspect most of us don't tell big black lies. But how often do we tell wee white lies of excuse, of exaggeration? Sometimes to get ourselves out of trouble, sometimes to make ourselves seem more important. I skipped honour your father and your mother. Maybe we could say, how well do I live up to my family responsibilities? And that's like a kaleidoscope that changes. One day we're a child, and the next day we're a parent, and then the years fly by and we're a grandparent. And our role in the family always changes, but is always important. So I think we can't just honour your father and your mother, tick, no. We have to ask ourselves, how well do I fulfil my role, whatever it is, in my family? See, I think the biggest obstacle to progress in our own spiritual lives and maybe even the life of a parish is thinking, I'm okay, we're okay, I don't have to do any more. We're a good parish, we don't have to do any more. Now, in this mission, I think my role is to challenge you as individuals, as families, as a parish, What could we do more to be the person, the family, the parish that God wants us to be? It's too easy to go into the Pharisee mold. I'm a good guy. We're a good parish. The gospel challenges us to say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, bless and guide this parish that could do more for more people. One of my favourite saints is, I think we call him in English, Francis de Sales, François de Sales. And he was being persecuted one day by the kind of pious woman that bug priests sometimes. And she said, Monsignor, Monsignor, what do I have to do to be a saint? And he looked at her and said, more. We should never be self-satisfied. We should never think, I have done enough and I can rest on my laurels. I think the secret of growing in our spiritual life as individuals and as a parish is honesty and humility. It's seeing who we really are and where we have to grow. It's not easy. Sometimes it's hard to acknowledge our problems, our setbacks, our lack of growth. Tomorrow night will be cheerier because we'll be talking about receiving God's mercy. But tonight I really wanted to focus on acknowledging our need of mercy, opening our minds, opening our hearts, examining our conscience. But I'll finish with a nice anecdote. Father Kevin took me over to visit grade 4 in Cataldo School today, and they were delightful. And I was talking about the prodigal son, and I asked them, did they know the story? And this wee boy started to tell the story. Yeah, he got his dad's money and he went away and he spent it on things he didn't have to spend it on. Beautifully put. I also took the opportunity of teaching the kids my Scottish word, numpty, and said if they wanted a theme for this parish mission, it was, God knows we're numpties, and he still loves us.